Morning. Exodus chapter 4, the title of my sermon is Too Many Excuses. And by the way, I have sermon notes on the outside table. If you forgot to grab one today, I'm sorry. I always forget to tell you ahead of time. But if you would like one, and if you want to raise your hand, I'm sure I can get, you know, maybe Gage, my nephew, to run back there and get it. If you would like a sermon notes and didn't get it, raise your hand. I'm sure we can have Gage run out there. Gage, my mom, she needed one. Thank you. So anybody else, Gage, if you wouldn't mind, it's right on that table, just right behind the doors here, and there's a stack. Yeah, go through the door. It's like, that one's open. You just got to pull it. Yeah, sorry. I think we made him loose. Lost him. Yeah, I know, right? I threw him for a loop there. Well, if you have it, he'll bring that in just a moment here. We're going to be reading Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. And while he's getting that paper, I'm going to catch you up to speed. Exodus chapter 1 was the Pharaoh wanted to enslave the Egyptians, right? And he wanted to have all the babies killed, all the male babies killed, because he was afraid of them raising up against him, okay? Then we get into chapter 2, and we see that Moses' mother saves him by putting him into, you know, hides him away and then puts him in an ark of bulrushes into the Nile River, and Pharaoh's daughter sees him. And then it says, the Bible says, when she looked upon him, he cried and she had compassion on him. Amen. So then we get to chapter 3 and we see that Moses kills an adult now, and he sees an Egyptian treating an Israelite poorly and actually kills the guy. And then he flees because Pharaoh was going to arrest him. And then God appears to him in a burning bush. If you're familiar with that, with Moses, that was chapter 3. So here we are in chapter 4. God has already talked to Moses, said, Moses, I'm going to use you to deliver my people Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And that's where we pick up our text here in Exodus chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. They will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Verse number 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Verse number 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. We're going to read through 17. And thou shalt speak unto them, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. Lord, I thank you for everyone who took time to be here. Lord, I pray a special blessing upon each family, each person here today, Lord, that took time to be here to hear your word preached, Lord, that we can grow in the knowledge of you, Lord, and grow closer to you. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us now, that as we try to reach our community, Lord, I thank you for the body of Christ, Lord. Everybody is involved and working and excited, Lord, and we're very thankful for that. I pray that you'll be with every heart now, as only you can. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for it all. And Lord, I know there's so many needs out there today, Lord. There's physical needs, spiritual needs, financial needs, and all those things, Lord. And I pray that you'll help all of those situations, Lord, that they'll be drawn to you through the solution of it. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I mentioned here in chapter 4, God had appeared to Moses in a burning bush in chapter 3. And he says, Moses, I'm going to use you to lead the people out of Israel. And in chapter 3, if you remember, Moses said, whoa, who am I? I can't do that. And God says, Moses, I'll be with you. And you think that the story's done in chapter 3, like, oh, okay, Moses, listen, and he did what he's supposed to do. No, Moses is like a toddler here, right? Where God says, do it, and he says, no, I can't do it. And then God says, do it again. He says, no, I can't do it. And God says, do it again. It's like you had to tell him 4 times, like you tell a toddler, right? Like, I've told you 4 times, do it, man, before I, you know. There's going to be some consequences here, right? And that's kind of what's going on here in chapter 4 with Moses, and that's why I titled the sermon, Too Many Excuses, right? Because Moses says, I can't do it, and God says, yeah, and he says, I can't do it, I can't do it. And he just keeps giving excuses. So to make sure you know what's going on here, Moses first had a rod in his hand, and God says, throw it down, and I'll make it a snake. And he says, pick it up again, and I'll turn it back into a rod. And God is showing his power to Moses. And yet Moses still says, no, I can't do it. God says, okay, how about I show you another sign? Put your hand in your coat and pull it out, and it's leprous, which is leprosy, okay? And then he put it back in, he pulled it back out, and it was healed. God says, there you go, and there's another sign. You should trust that I'll be with you. Moses said, no, I still can't do it. God says, okay, fine. How about if you take, I'll show you that if they don't listen to you, I'll take water, you can pour it out, and it'll turn into blood. And Moses says, no, I still can't do it. And then finally, God gets angry with Moses because Moses says in verse number 13, essentially Moses is saying, God, please send somebody else. He says, send whom thou wilt. Like in other words, not me, Lord, somebody else. And in verse 14, it says God got angry with him. And then, of course, we read about Aaron, Moses' brother, who God gives to Moses and says, hey, look, I'll have him help you, essentially, all right? So that's what's going on in our story today. Three points I want to bring out this morning. First of all, we see the method that God chooses, the method. Second of all, we see God's message, the message he's communicating. And then thirdly, we see the hero. We see the hero. And it'll make sense as we go. I know I'm not the best at alliterating. You got two M's and an H, all right? That works. All right, but first of all, I want you to notice we see the method. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the method that God chooses to get his work accomplished. Amen. Look at verse number 2 for me, please. Chapter 4, verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, talking about Moses, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. Now, if you've been in church any length of time, you've probably heard a sermon about what is in thine hand. And I hope, you know, maybe we can communicate in a way here that maybe something new comes out. I don't know. But if you've never heard, basically God is saying, Moses, I created you to be who you are. I called you to do what I called you to do. So don't feel like you're not qualified. Don't feel like you can't do what I'm asking you to do because I'm the one who made you. And he says, I don't care what skills and that, whatever the personality that you have, whatever skills that you have, I'm the one who gave them to you and I'm the one who called you to do it. So guess what, Moses? What's in your hand? He says, a rod. And he says, well, I'll use your rod then. Whatever is in your hand, I will use. So on your, if you have your notes this morning, the first point under the method is letter A. There is what is in your hand. What is in your hand? Let's bring it home, church. Instead of, oh, what's in the house? He's talking to Moses. He's talking, no. God is talking to you today saying, what's in your hand? What's in your hand, Pastor Kerr? What's in your hand, Peter? What's in your hand, Evan, Ethan? What is in your hand? Whatever you have in your hand, I want you to use it for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. You say, what are you talking? I don't have anything in my hands right now. We're not talking about literally what's in your hands. We're talking about, how about this? Let's say you're a stay-at-home mom, and what is that in your hand? Maybe diapers. You're like, well, I'm a stay-at-home. All I do is change diapers all day. How am I going to do anything for God? God says, those little lives, I want you to transform those lives. Train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You are making a difference in this world by training those kids up to love me. And guess what? They may turn out to be, and by the way, not everybody's going to be a preacher. Not everybody's going to be a missionary. Guess what? You know, my dad and my brothers are plumbers. As a plumber, my dad gets into homes that I, as a preacher, will never get into. My dad will be able to have conversations with people that I, as a preacher, will never be able to have a conversation with. People that may never turn on a gospel song a day in their life. People that may never turn on, you know, on the internet and listen to a sermon preached. But if you're a plumber, you have an opportunity to be in their house. How about if you're a mechanic? What's in your hand? Maybe a wrench? Somebody is coming to you to get their car fixed. And you can be an example of somebody who loves the Lord, treats them honestly with respect and integrity. And they're going to trust you. And then they hear, oh, you're a Christian. And then they remember how honest and how much integrity you had as a mechanic. And then they're going to be like, oh, wow, what is this Christian thing about? Amen? What's in your hand, church? What is in your hand? God made you that way. You know, my whole life I've always been into sports. And I just kind of joked about the Bengals, right? And well, I mean, I'm not joking, okay? It's a serious matter, all right? But I talked about the Bengals. And so, you know, if somebody loves sports and if they love the Cincinnati Bengals or the Cincinnati Reds, hey, I can connect with you, man. It's like, let's connect, right? But let's say somebody's not into sports. And maybe they're not into the things that I'm into. And I'm trying to connect with them, but they're like, as much as I like Pastor Kurt, I don't really connect. That's where you come in. Amen? God makes each and every one of us different so that everybody can be connected in the body of Christ. I'm 37. Some people who are in their 30s or 20s may be like, oh, he's great. 40s, 50s, whatever. But someone else may be like, he don't understand. He's a little, you know, whatever, right? So guess what? We're the body of Christ. So you need to make sure you're connecting with everybody that you can connect with. I'm going to do my best, but I need your help. Amen? We're the body of Christ. Now, I want you to notice this too. Moses wasn't a good speaker. Did you guys catch that? He said, I'm not eloquent. I have a heavy tongue, you know, whatever. He said, I'm not eloquent. So Moses wasn't a good speaker, and God said, well, you know what, I'll send your brother Aaron. So I want you to notice, first of all, that God will give you grace and what you need to accomplish the task that he's given you. You're like, well, I can't really do it. I'm not good at it. If God's called you to do it, God will give you what you need to get it done. Amen? But then I also want to notice this. This was interesting to me. Acts chapter 7, I put in your notes there. Acts chapter 7, verse 22 says this. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And notice this. He was mighty in, what is that next word? Words. He was mighty in words and deeds. Isn't that interesting? Here in Exodus chapter 4, Moses is like, God, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. And God said, okay, fine, I'll give you Aaron. But then in Acts, we have Stephen who's preaching a sermon, okay? And he says, Moses was mighty in words and deeds. You know what that tells me? That tells me that if you obey and follow the Lord, God will improve you in the certain areas you need to be. God, I can't really be effective at church. I'm not really outgoing. God says, just obey me, do what I ask you to do, and you know what? Maybe I'll improve that area. Or whatever, right? Maybe he doesn't improve it, but he uses that in a way that he needs. Somebody else who's not outgoing is like, I connect with that guy right there or that woman right there. And God uses that for his honor and glory. Church, my point is, God says, what is in your hand? We are the body of Christ. You have something that God has equipped you to do, and he's asking you to do it. Amen? Secondly, in your notes there, not only what is in your hand, but you need to trust for God to do it. Trust for God to do it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We have to be confident. You don't have to be confident. Look, listen, I know God has called me to Bethlehem Baptist Church, but I'm not confident that Bethlehem Baptist Church is going to be successful because of who I am. I'm confident because he, which began a good work in me, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm confident in God. I'm not confident in me. As much as, you know, CJ is amazing at what she does, and Joey and Chrissy and Brandon and Claire and Peter and everybody, as much as I love what you're talented at, I'm confident that God is going to help us accomplish what we need to do. Amen? God will provide our needs. God will give us what we need when we need it if we'll just obey what he's asking us to do. You know, I don't want to embarrass anybody, so I hesitate to say names, but I love these things. But one of the things that we talked about when we came to Bethlehem was, man, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do this, you know, and you'll find there's a lot of things I don't know how to do. Don't amen that, right? No, but there's a lot of things I don't know how to do, and I'll tell you, God just answered prayers, just one after the other. Just things were happening, and God was moving. It's like, wow, man, all these needs were met. And again, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but, you know, I remember Brother Gale texting me, and we talked, and I was like, I'm telling you, I don't cry very often, but that was a time where tears came to my eyes because I was, you know, it was just a tough period of time, and it really was like, oh, man, this is awesome. You know, it was just like God was just meeting me. It was like, praise the Lord, you know, and all these different things. And I'm not, you know, you call me a sissy, I'll hit you, all right? No, but tears came to my eyes, man, when I read the text. We were texting, and I was just like, Lord, man, this is just, God is meeting needs. And it was awesome, and it was awesome. So you need to trust for God to do it. Philippians 2:13 says this, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You see, God says, did you hear that part where it says good pleasure? God enjoys doing things that he gets the glory from. Amen? When something happens here at Bethlehem Baptist Church and people look and say, that could only happen because of God, he has pleasure from that. So why don't we believe that God will do these things? You know, Wednesday night, we had an amazing crowd of people Wednesday night. We have 45 kids come Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you what, it was like filling your energy tank on Wednesday night to get you through the rest of the week because you were so excited what God did. And, you know, I was talking to Joey and we were walking out to the shed and I said, man, good job, Joey. You guys did a good job. And Joey's like, I just told the kids to invite people. That's it. You know, and I told him I'll give them ice cream and invite people. And we have 45 kids and it was just like such a blessing. God gets good pleasure from those things. You know why? Because when people say, hey, that's awesome what's happening there at Bethlehem. And you say, it's God, man. I don't know how else to explain it. It's just God doing these things. God gets pleasure from that. Christian, when God works in your life and people say, wow, how did that happen? You say, I don't know, God. God gets pleasure from that. So trust that he'll do those things. Amen? Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says this, faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Amen? You don't have to depend on yourself. Depend on God. Amen? And then thirdly, in your notes there under the method, we see be available for God to use. Be available for God to use. Now, listen, here's my point. I want you to picture this conversation that Moses is having with God. God in chapter 3 says, hey, Moses, by the way, this is after he sees a burning bush. That's not consumed. You know what I mean? That's enough for me. I'd be like, yeah, whatever you want, God. You know what I mean? Now, I mean, we'd all act like Moses. We know we would. We're just as bad as Moses, right? Moses sees this burning bush, and a voice comes from him, and it says, Moses, I want you to lead my people out. And Moses says, who am I? I can't do that. God says, I'll be with you. Right? I kind of talked about this, but let's go on in the conversation. Here in chapter 4, what happens? Moses says, God, they won't listen to me. When I go and tell them, hey, follow me, they're not going to listen to me. God says, Moses, all right, let me demonstrate. What's in your hand? A staff. Okay, throw it down. I'm going to turn it to a snake, and I want you to pick it back up. Not sorry. Total side note here. I ain't picking up a snake by the tail. All right? I ain't doing it. I'm running, okay? If you're one of those weird people that can pick up snakes and not have a problem with it, God bless you, but stay away from me, all right? That's all I'm saying. I am not, Alexa has said before, I want a snake. No, I am not having a snake in my house. Period, end of story, all right? I don't like snakes. If you do, God bless you, all right? But that's what happened. God turned into a snake, and he says, pick it back up by the tail. And he does, turns back into a rod. And then Moses is like, God, I still can't do it. Burning bush, called him out, turned it into a snake, and turned it back into, and he still can't do it. And then Moses, but by the way, did God get angry yet? No. God understands. God understands that we struggle with things. Amen? Maybe you don't struggle, but most of us do, right? If you don't struggle, well, okay, great. You're, you know, high and mighty, right? Most of us struggle with the things God calls us to do, right? Can I get an amen there, right? We struggle with these things. And you know what? God has patience with us. God is long-suffering to us, word. Amen? He has patience with us. And notice he didn't get mad at Moses yet, did he? No. And then he says, okay, Moses, let me show you something else. Put your hand in, leprosy, and then put it back in your heel. Is that enough? Moses said, no, God, I still can't do it. God says, okay. And he still didn't get angry. God says, okay. I'll do this too. You take water, pour it, I'll turn to blood. And Moses still says, God, I can't do it. God didn't get angry. Notice when God got angry. Look at verse 13. I really want you to focus here. God says that, Moses says this, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Basically, what's going on here is Moses says, God, okay, you've shown me this. I've told you I can't do it. You've shown me this. I think I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. Finally, Moses says, God, just send somebody else. Just send somebody else. I don't want to do it. And then look at verse 14. What was God's response then? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. God didn't get angry that Moses had doubts. God doesn't get angry with you that you have doubts. God didn't get angry with Moses that he felt unworthy. By the way, that's great. You should feel unworthy because we are. God didn't get angry with Moses until Moses said, God, I ain't going to do it. Get somebody else. In other words, he wasn't available. That's basically what he was saying. God, I'm not available to do what you've called me to do. Get somebody else. Christian, if you're here today, God's not angry with you over your doubts, but he does get angry over you if you flat out say, I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Okay, to be correct. I'm not going to do it. You say that, now God's angry with you. So Christian, be available to God. You're at your workplace. God is calling you to witness to the people you work next to every day. Not during work hours. I get that. You're paid to do a job. I get that. But opportunities come up. Be available for God to use you. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, I put in your notes, says this, Isaiah speaking, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. You see, God, you know, you've heard it in football, right? The best ability is what? Availability. Have you guys ever heard that saying before? In other words, you can be the best baseball player or football player or basketball player ever, but if you're injured and you're on the injured list, you're no good to any team. I hate to say it like that, but you're no good to the team because you're not playing, right? So you can be the best Christian. Oh, man, I know this cover to cover. Man, I know everything there is, and I know all the doctrines of what the Bible teaches, and I blah, blah. And then God says, but I want you to witness to your neighbor. And you're like, no, I ain't going to do that. God says, what good is it? You're not available to me. Amen? Be available. That's the method God chooses. Now, secondly, in our notes, I want you to notice not only the method, but God's message. God's message. Now, here I want to point this out. 1 Corinthians 1:22, that's not in your notes. It says this, the Jews require a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. So Jews require a sign, Greeks or Gentiles, us, seek after wisdom. And I want to point that out for this reason. In the Old Testament time period, God did perform miracles and these signs and wonders and all these crazy things. Why? To let the Jews know, hey, I am the Lord God, you're supposed to follow me. God doesn't work that way anymore today. Does he still perform miracles? Yes, sure he does. But he doesn't work as openly. Today he works, and notice in your notes, point A, he works through his word. His word. And I want you to notice how I get that from the text. Well, first of all, in chapter 3, when God calls Moses, he uses his words. He uses his words. Now, God doesn't speak audibly to you and I today, but what he does is he has a completed Word of God, that is the Word of God for you and I, and this is how he will first speak to you, through his Word. John 6, 68, Peter says this, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The words of God. 2 Timothy 3:15 says this, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And so, Christian, I want you to understand, first of all, we have his word. God's message comes from his word. How else would we know about creation? How else would we know about salvation? How in the world would we know how to go to heaven when we die if we didn't have his word? That's God's message, comes through his word. Not only his word, but secondly, under God's message, we see signs of transformation. Signs of transformation. Now, if you notice through verses 3 and 4, I already talked about them, how the rod was thrown down and it was turned into a snake, and then it transformed back into a rod. That was God giving Moses evidence, right? I want you to follow me here on my thought process for a minute, okay? Then God, the whole hand turning leprous and then back to healed, that was another sign of transformation that God was using to show Moses, here's what I want you to do. Are you with me? And then, after those two signs of transformation, what was the third thing? It was the water into blood. Now, that's kind of a sign of judgment, right? So here's what I want you to notice. If God will use his word to draw you to himself, he will use his word to draw you to be saved, to draw you to himself. If that doesn't work, well, guess what? He uses transformation to draw you to himself. What do you mean? I mean transformed lives of you and me that are saved. If we have a transformed life, people will see that and it will point them to Christ. Amen? So God uses his word and he uses transformation, transformed lives. If that still doesn't work, because it says, God says to Moses, if they don't listen to the first two, then I'll give them the water to blood. So here's the point, Chris. If you're here today and you're not saved, God uses his word and transformation. If that still won't draw you to himself, guess what's coming next? Judgment. Judgment. God will bring judgment upon your life. If his word and transformed lives don't point you to him enough for you to come to him, judgment will come either in this life or in the next. So I implore you today, I beg of you today, get right with God today before you get to that judgment part. Amen? Now, Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says this, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Now, the third point under the message was the judgment of God. I kind of got ahead of myself there, but judgment of God. And you see, here's the point, as I said, church, here's the point. If you're here today and you're not saved, God is using his word to draw you to himself, and he's using the transformed lives around you to draw you to himself. Sometimes it takes people being judged on this world, meaning bad things happen and whatever, to draw them to Christ. Sometimes it takes that. But if you still don't turn to Christ, you're going to face a judgment after you die that you're not going to like. So come to Christ before you reach that judgment. Amen? And then thirdly, I went quickly through point number two, but thirdly, we see not only the method and the message, but thirdly, we see the hero. The hero. Now, you're probably thinking, Moses, oh, yeah, we see Moses, the hero. No, that's not the hero of the story. Amen? Firstly, under the hero, point number A there, I want you to notice that God is the hero of the story. Amen? God is the hero of the story, not Moses. Look at verse number 12, please. Look at verse number 12. Chapter number 4, verse number 12. God says, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." God tells Moses, go and do it, and I will be with you, and I'll do it. I'll tell you what to say. I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you what to say. I'll do it for you, essentially, if you just obey me. Now here's what I want you to notice. Who wrote the book of Exodus? Moses. Moses wrote the book of Exodus. And here in chapter 4, the writer of the book of Exodus is telling us how he doubted and how he excused and gave excuse and gave excuse and said, God, I'm not available. Moses wrote that, telling us about himself. Now, what am I getting at? What I'm getting at here is that we as Christians need to make sure we are pointing people to the true hero of the story. Don't come to church because of Pastor Kurt. Don't come to church because of, you know, Dan or Malachi or whatever. I mean, that's great if he comes up, right? But don't come to church because of Brandon. Come to church because God is the hero of the story. Too many preachers and too many, you know, leaders, it's all about them. Oh, look what I did. Look what I did. Look how amazing I am. Come to church here because I'm amazing. All right? For you, you know, if this is online later, that was a quote from somebody else, not me. All right? If you come to church here because of me, guess what? I'm going to let you down. I mean, I hope not. I think of myself as pretty awesome, right? But guess what? I'm going to let you down. I'm going to let you down because there's only one of me to go around. I also teach school. I also have a wife and a daughter. I have all these obligations and responsibilities in life that, guess what? I'm going to do my absolute best to be everything to everybody. But I'll let you down because I'm human, just like you let people down. Amen? All right. Don't say I let people down and you don't, right? You big liar. You let people down too, and you know it, right? And so my point is, don't come to church here because of me. Come to church here because God is the hero of the story. Don't come to church here because of, you know, CJ or whatever. Come to church here because God is the hero of the story, and God says, I want you here so I can use you to do something amazing. That's why you come to church. God is the hero of the story. We need to be like John the Baptist in John chapter 3, verse 30, where John the Baptist says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Let's make little of ourselves and make much of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians 3:21 says this, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto him be glory. Not unto me, not unto you, but unto him. Unto Jesus Christ. Not only is God the hero of the story, but secondly there you see You're going to say, this is going to sound weird when I say this, but don't trust every preacher. Right? That's in your notes there, point B there. Don't trust every preacher. 1 John 4:1 says this, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Don't trust every preacher, folks. You're like, "Oh man, I heard this preacher on YouTube. Man, he was great." Okay, what did he preach on? Well, I don't know, but it was exciting. All right. Did he preach about God? The Bible? Like, what did he teach on? I don't know. He's got a big church. Surely he's doing something right. Not necessarily. Try the spirits. See if what they're teaching and preaching is what's truly in the Word of God. Amen? Acts 17:11 says this. This is how we need to be. It says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica," talking about the people here, "in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." These were the Bereans, by the way. They were from a place called Berea, and basically they didn't just take the word of Paul and everybody else. They searched the scriptures to see if what he was saying was true. And that's what we need to be. Don't trust every preacher. And then letter C under your notes there. This kind of sounds the same as don't trust every preacher, but lastly, don't follow a man or woman, but follow God. Amen. Acts 14:15, you know, here's Paul the apostle, and he says this, "Sirs, why do you," he's talking to, he came to this place where these people worshipped false gods, like Greek mythology and things like that, and he says this, he healed a crippled man, right? So all these people came out to worship Paul and Barnabas. Like, they literally wanted to worship him. "Oh, Paul, Barnabas, you guys are amazing. You healed this man. Let's worship you." And Paul says this. In Acts 14:15, he says, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all things that are therein." You see, it is our job as Christians to make less of me and you, right? And make much of Jesus Christ. It's not, "Oh, look how awesome and amazing I am." It's, "God is awesome and amazing." And have you ever heard of the word humble brag? I didn't bring it up. But it's like, you know, some people will claim to give God the glory, but at the same time, they're kind of taking it. "Man, I am so," like, let me give you an example. "Man, I'm just so thankful that God used me to do this amazing thing here." You see that? I gave God the glory. I'm kind of taking it to myself, right? I'm kind of taking it to myself. So the point is, the hero of the story is God. The hero of the story is God. And without God, we're nothing. And I want to close with this. If your salvation story is a little bit of you as the hero, like, "Oh, I'm a good person," that ain't going to get you to heaven. The hero of your salvation story needs to be Jesus Christ. As I mentioned about Tamla's song, he shed his blood to cover your sins. That's the only way you can get to heaven. You can help as many old ladies and old people as you want. You can help as many kids as you want. That ain't going to get you to heaven. Okay? You can give as much money to the church as you want. And by the way, we'll take it, right? But that ain't going to get you to heaven. All right? Ain't going to get you to heaven. Only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins is the only way you can get to heaven. God is the hero of the story. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly